So let's just really open our hearts to him. Let's just focus on him. Let's choose to put down whatever has been going on and let's just really lift up our eyes to heaven. Let's pray. Jesus, we love you. Jesus, we acknowledge that you are Lord in this place. You are Lord in our lives. And Jesus, this morning, we're hungry for you. Lord, we've tasted of your goodness, but this morning we want to go deeper. Lord, we want to know you. And so, Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We pray that you would just come and you'd reveal Jesus to us today. Amen. Great. I recently read a book by a man called Norman Barnes. It's called God Gave Me a Dream. And he isn't a relative, by the way. Actually, I bought the book from the bookstore that Roz set up to raise money for the work that Ruth and Michelle are doing in Southeast Asia. So I don't know who donated the book, but I was so blessed by this man's story, so thank you. Soon after Norman Barnes became a Christian, when he was 16, he began to feel a real desire to reach parts of the world with the message of Jesus. One week he describes being in a youth meeting, and the Holy Spirit came on him and gave him a vision of some of the plans that God had for his life. So for 2 hours, he says he lay on the floor. And as he lay there, this scene just began unfolding in front of, before his eyes, like he'd been transported out of that room into a completely different place. He saw himself on a platform in a large building, preaching to thousands of black people. And then in the vision, when he'd finished preaching, he gave an appeal for people to come forward and to respond to God. And he saw many people responding. And then at that point, the vision faded. It had been like God had opened his eyes to see some of the plans that God had for his life. And after that day, he knew without a shadow of a doubt that one day God was going to take him to Africa. Well, over the following years, he says everything within him wanted to force that vision to be fulfilled. He was ready at 16 to head off to Africa to be used powerfully by God. But he soon realized that God had different plans. And actually, he couldn't force the vision to happen. He had to trust God. He had to trust God to fulfill it in God's way. And he says that actually the years that followed were really key in preparing him for all that lay ahead. So 20 years later, quite a long time, 20 years later, in 1979, he received a letter from a man in Ghana asking him to come and visit his church. As he prayed, he felt a real peace about going, and within 6 weeks, he was on a plane heading to Africa. On Easter Sunday, he found himself stepping up to a platform to preach, and as he did so, he says it was as if he'd stepped into the vision that God had given him 20 years before. As he stood before 5,000 people, it was like everything he saw and experienced was an action replay of that vision. He knew what was going to happen next as the meeting progressed. Before his very eyes, 5,000 Ghanaians abandoned themselves in worship and responded wholeheartedly to God. How amazing. The vision was being fulfilled. The dream that had been in his heart for so long became reality. And that was just the beginning of God opening up a whole new chapter of his life. Awesome. So God gave Norman Barnes a dream, a vision of what lay ahead, a burden for people in a country he'd never been to and he knew very little about. He placed desires within him, and then he fulfilled those desires as only our amazing God can do. Today, there'll be dreams that God's placed within people here, and there are many more that he wants to give us. For some here this morning, perhaps he's given you glimpses of what lies ahead, maybe through prophetic words, through dreams, through visions, perhaps through certain scriptures. Maybe he's given you a burden in your heart for a certain group of people, a compassion you know isn't just your own, but is part of his heart forming in you for what he's calling you to. Maybe for you today you've become discouraged along the way, doubting whether God can really make your dreams reality. For others, maybe you doubt whether God has a purpose at all. Perhaps things have been really hard for you and it's left you feeling broken, feeling like you're just being swept along by all that life's throwing at you. Well, God's heart today is to encourage you and to restore you. God's heart is to heal what's broken and to turn your life around for His glory. I'm excited this morning because I believe that God's wanting to encourage us, to move us on and to release us afresh into all that He has for us. But I believe that He's calling us to put down our doubts, put down any disappointments from the past, and choose to believe today that He does have a wonderful plan for each one of us here. Not just for the person sitting next to you, but for you. If you'll let Him, He'll work in you and around you to bring about His purpose in your life. Philippians 2:13 says that God works in us to will and to act according to His good purpose. I believe He wants to encourage you this morning that He created you for a unique purpose. He knew the plans that He had for you even before He made you in your mother's womb. In fact, when He made you, when He formed you, He made you a certain way. He shaped you. He placed certain gifts within you. He caused you to love certain things. He did all of this because He was making you for a purpose. And to move into that purpose for your life is the most fulfilling thing out. It's about being fully alive, fully you, really. And actually doing the things that in your heart of hearts you love doing. It's about blossoming as the person that He created you to be. He's placed desires and hopes and longings, ambitions within you. And these are all part of where He's taking you to. The plans that He's got for you. I think more of our dreams than we realize are actually put in our hearts by our loving Father, who wants us to reach out and dare to believe that He can fulfill those dreams if we'll let Him. At the start of the book of Jeremiah in the Old Testament, we read of how God appointed Jeremiah for a specific purpose, even before Jeremiah was conceived. So it says, "Before I formed you in the womb," this is God speaking to Jeremiah, "before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." What an incredible verse. Before God even formed Jeremiah, He knew exactly how He was going to use him as a prophet to speak God's word to the nations. So when He formed him, when He created him, He made him specifically to fulfill that purpose, with that purpose in mind. This verse speaks to each of us of God's hand on our lives and His calling on us even before we were born. Before you were born, He had a purpose for your life already planned, laid out. A plan for you to walk into which would feel so good because it would be the very, very purpose for which you were created. Ephesians 2:10 says that we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. Wonderful. Things prepared by God for us to do. But the other side of the story, as we know, is we've got an enemy of our souls, the devil, who's always seen that potential in us. And so he does everything from the moment we're conceived to stop God's purpose coming about. And that can leave us feeling pretty hopeless, thinking God can use other people, but can He really use me? It can leave us feeling disappointed, discouraged. It can cause us actually to push down the dreams, the longings that God's put in our hearts. But God wants to encourage us that His purpose for our life still stands, no matter what we've been through, no matter what choices we've made along the way, no matter how far we seem to be from seeing our dreams become reality. God can take our brokenness and turn it around for his glory. God is passionate about fulfilling his purpose for our lives. God's a restorer. And you know, our God is a dream maker. About 8 or 9 years ago, I was on holiday in France. I had a vivid dream one night that's still really clear in my mind. I was in a hut that felt like it was in a remote place, in another land, and I was lying on the floor of the hut. I was aware that there were people all around me who were against me. And in the dream, I had the sense that I felt quite alone in that place. But as I lay on the floor of that hut, the Holy Spirit was filling me and filling me. He was touching me, and as he did, I sensed such comfort, and I knew that I wasn't alone, that God was there with me. So that was what I saw in the dream. Before Ruth and Michelle moved to Thailand, they came over for a meal, and they shared about what they were going to be doing and their hearts for that part of the world. As they shared, I just felt so moved, and this dream just came back to me so clearly, so vividly. Then last summer, when they were over, I spent quite a lot of time talking with them about what they were doing and the situation and the people and the stories of people's lives. And as we talked again, this dream came back to me. And I felt like the Lord was saying that the path that he had for me was going to take me to that part of the world. And one day that dream would become reality, that one day I'd be in that hut and the comfort of the Holy Spirit filling me in that place was going to be a precious thing. Last summer, Ruth and Michelle also shared about the babies in Burma. Babies who are dying in the jungles of eastern Burma. Their families may have had to flee their villages if perhaps the Burmese army have come and have attacked the village, and then the families might be on the run in the jungle or might have to set up home elsewhere. And some of these babies, their mothers might have been killed, or the mother might be too sick to breastfeed them. So these little babies perhaps don't have any milk, and apparently that a lot of them are just well below the weight that they should be. They're tiny. When Ruth and Michelle shared about these babies, I felt so moved. I felt like Jesus was allowing me to share in some of his pain for these little ones. And what a privilege that is when we feel his heart, when we sense his pain. I knew that God was working within me, that he was stirring my heart for what he was calling me to. So I prayed and I asked him that if he wanted me to get involved, if this was his plan, that he would open up that door, that he'd make it happen. Well, he certainly opened the door wide. And last month, I headed off on my first trip with the plan of spending time with Ruth and Michelle, of meeting different people, of talking to people, and really looking into getting a program set up to help these babies, a program that we've called Babies at Risk. I set off feeling really excited, feeling expectant, but also feeling so weak in myself. Feeling, you know, little old me trundling off, not really knowing what I was going to, but knowing that I had to respond to this burden that God had put in my heart. And it was an amazing time. Each day of that trip, I was so aware of my weakness, but it was awesome. God demonstrated his strength. Each day he seemed to be at work in conversations, in the people that I met, in the ideas that we came up with to help the babies. I so knew that he'd gone ahead of me. And it felt like I was just walking into something that God had already prepared in advance for me to do. He was making it happen. I was so reminded when I was there of the verse from Galatians 2:20, where it says that we've been crucified with Christ and we no longer live, but Christ lives in us. And the life we live in the body, we live by faith in the Son of God, in Jesus. So I'm heading back there in October, and then we'll see where God takes it from there. What a privilege it is to walk with Jesus. And I really believe that one day I'll see that dream that he gave me 8 years ago become reality, that somehow this ties in with this whole thing. We'll see. So God has a unique and a special purpose for each one of us here. But there are some keys that we need to take hold of if we're to see our dreams realized and his purposes come about in our lives. After Jesus was taken up to heaven, the disciples each had a key role to play in the kingdom of God being built, established in the world. God had a specific plan for each one of those disciples. And in John chapters 14, 15 and 16, we read quite an extensive account of the words that Jesus spoke to his disciples before he was taken away to be crucified. In many ways, he was preparing them. He was showing them how to move into their God-given purpose. In John 15, Jesus uses an illustration from nature to help them to grasp a deeper truth. He compares himself to a vine and them as the branches of the vine. In order to see God's purpose fulfilled in their lives, Jesus knew that they had to understand the most vital relationship they had, their relationship with him as the vine. In order to see his plans for their lives materialize, they'd have to understand what it meant to be branches of the vine, what it meant to be completely and utterly dependent on him to bring about the fruit in their lives, to see the church established and the kingdom of God advancing. There's a lot in this passage, but this morning we're just going to look at one part of John 15 and unpack some of the lessons that Jesus was teaching his disciples and indeed us. If we're to see God's amazing purposes fulfilled in our lives, then we, like the disciples, need to hear and take on board some of the lessons that Jesus is teaching us here. So John 15:5, Jesus said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." So Jesus is the vine, and we're the branches of that vine. I don't know how many of you have seen grapes growing on a grapevine. Apparently there's a grapevine down in Hampton Court in South London. There's a grapevine that's about 1,000 years old. It's got one root, which is about 2 feet thick, and some of the branches are 200 feet long. Despite its age, the vines produce several tons of grapes each year. And although some of the smaller branches are 200 feet from the main stem, they still bear fruit because they're connected to the vine. Life flows from that single root and brings nourishment, brings strength to each one of the branches, allowing them to fulfill their purpose of bearing fruit. And that's what we want, isn't it? To fulfill our purpose of bearing fruit. To see God do and bring about the things that he said he'll do. To know the life of Jesus flowing through us. To see God bring about his amazing purposes for our lives. To see the kingdom of God advancing. But apart from him, we can do nothing. Nothing. I actually find this verse quite liberating. It's only his life flowing through us and in us that's going to make any difference in this world. None of my bright ideas, none of my efforts and strivings are going to count for anything unless they've been birthed in the heart of God. Fruit isn't going to come through just hard work and effort. Fruit that lasts, fruit that's got eternal value, is only going to come as we remain in the vine. The role of the branches is simply to remain, to let life flow into them. We don't have to struggle to produce fruit. We've just got to focus our energy, our resources, on remaining attached to the vine so that life can flow through us. It's really quite simple, isn't it? He's the source of all we need, and his purposes are only going to come about as we remain in him. He longs to flow through us. He longs to bring the fruit in our lives, but it can only happen as we remain in him. He'll give us his heart. He'll give us increasing vision for the way ahead. He'll display his glory through us. He'll make our God-given dreams reality. We'll become all that we were created to be, but only as we remain in him. Those disciples obviously took on board what Jesus was saying to them that day. They moved into the full purposes for which they were created. Apart from him, they couldn't have done it. The kingdom of God advanced. The church was born because those disciples chose to remain in the vine and allow his life to flow through them. They listened to him and they walked in step with him. And today it's the same for us. His message hasn't changed. We'll only move into the full purposes of God for our lives as we choose to remain in the vine. So what does it mean to remain in him? Well, the word used here that's translated as remain is the Greek word meno. In other translations, it's translated as abide. It means to stay closely connected, to settle in for the long term. And this implies intimacy, doesn't it? Intimacy with Jesus, being closely connected. God is calling us to intimacy. Lasting fruit is only going to come as we get intimate with Jesus, as we choose to steal away to be with him, as we spend time seeking his face, worshipping him. Some of you may have heard of Heidi and Roland Baker. They moved out to Mozambique in the 90s and have seen God doing incredible things in that country. They've reached out to the poorest of the poor, to the children living on rubbish dumps, the babies dying of AIDS, the thousands and thousands of people who were left homeless during the floods in 2000 and 2001. And they've gone from a group of 14 people and one church to over 5,000 churches filled with people whose lives have been transformed, whose lives have been touched by Jesus. And the key, Heidi Baker has said that the one key to seeing God moving in that land has been intimacy with Jesus. In a book she's written with her husband, she describes how when she was younger, before God had really given her a vision for Mozambique, she would spend time just seeking the face of God. She would choose time and again to steal away, to be with him, to press into Jesus, to worship him, to seek him above all else. She describes how she cried out to him, how she hungered for him, and when she didn't have a hunger, how she cried out to him to make her hungry. And he birthed the vision for the people of Mozambique within her. The life of the vine flowed into her. He formed his heart within her. He showed her the depths of his love, his calling on her life. She encountered him, she met with him, she got so filled up with his heart, with his compassion. This is what it is to remain. Apart from him, she couldn't have done it. He birthed the vision, the heart within her. And then as she chose to seek him above all else and to walk in obedience to him, his life has flowed through her to touch the people of that land. She's chosen to seek the face of God. She's chosen to totally and completely give herself to loving him. And he's come and he's ignited her with his heart. We're the sacrifices that he ignites with his love. He's looking for people who'll carry his glory. And when we carry the glory, we'll carry it to the lost, to the poor, to the dying, to the broken, whether they be in North London or whether they be elsewhere. That's the core. That's the heartbeat of Jesus. That's the heart that will form in us as we grow in intimacy with him. But we can't carry the fullness of him until we've seen his face, until we've come into that place of intimacy. Heidi tells the story of one night when she was groaning in intercession for the children of Mozambique. She had a vision and she saw thousands and thousands of children just coming towards her, children in desperate need. And she said the sight was just completely overwhelming. The needs were so huge. And she cried out to the Lord and she said, "No, God, I can't cope. There are too many." Then she saw the face of Jesus. She had a vision and she saw his glorious face. She saw his burning eyes of love. And she describes just being completely undone by his eyes. And then he spoke to her. And he said, "Heidi, there will always be enough because I died." She knew in that instant that she could never turn a child away. That even though the needs may be huge, and even though she couldn't meet those needs in her own natural strength, Jesus was the source. Jesus would provide. He's the vine. We're merely the branches through which his life can flow. They've seen God doing extraordinary things in that land. Remarkable healings. They've seen God raise a number of people from the dead. In the book, there's a photo of this lady, Rosa, who it says just below this, she'd been very sick and she died, and then God raised her up to life again. His Rosa back from the dead. He's pouring out his spirit. He's quenching the desperate thirst in the people of Mozambique. But it's all flowing from intimacy with Jesus. It's flowing from that place of seeing his face. In the book, Heidi Baker says, "Since that time I saw his face, a nation is coming to Jesus." I love that. Psalm 37:4 says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." Let's delight ourselves in him. Let's make him our priority in this life. Then he'll give us the desires of our hearts. Then he'll bring about our dreams, our longings, the deep desires that he's placed within us. There are so many things that distract us from Jesus. What are the things that distract you today? For each of us here, there are things that pull us away from that place of intimacy. To delight ourselves in the Lord really means to be enraptured by him, to be so caught up by his beauty, to fall so deeply in love with him that we make him our everything. I'm not in that place, but I so want to be there. I want to fall in love with him like I've never loved him before. God wants every part of our lives. He wants all of us. The things of this world don't satisfy. Only Jesus truly satisfies. We have to know his heart. We've got to know his compassion. We've got to know his passion for the lost, for the broken, for the oppressed. But this only truly comes through intimacy with him. And intimacy means laying down some of the things that we give our time to, some of the things that we give our hearts to. And it means seeking him above all else. God's looking for weak and willing people, people who are available, people who come to him and let his life flow through them. People who will delight themselves in him. It's not complicated. The life of a branch is not a complicated life. It's really quite simple. God is looking for humble hearts, hearts that will be dependent on Him and Him alone. Apart from Him, we can do nothing. And when we remain in Him, when we come to that place of intimacy, then He'll come. He'll form His heart within us. He'll birth vision within us for all that He has for us. And He'll make the vision reality. He'll bring it about. He'll give us the deep desires of our hearts. Psalm 138, verse 8 says that the Lord will fulfill His purpose for me. He's the one who does it. He'll fulfill His purpose for us as we remain in Him. I wonder if the musicians could just come back up. Jesus is calling us to intimacy. He wants us to seek His face above all else. He wants to draw us closer today, closer than we've ever come before. But it's up to us whether we'll choose to come. And He's looking for humble hearts, hearts that will be completely dependent on Him. Because it's only then that His life can truly flow through us and bring the fruit in our lives and cause the dreams to become reality. Let's just pray. Jesus, You are the vine and we are the branches. Lord, apart from You, we can do nothing. Lord, thank You that You've got a purpose. You've got an amazing plan for each one of our lives. Lord, thank You that You formed us for a purpose. Lord, thank You that You want to bring fruit in our lives. But Lord, we know there have been times when we've pushed You away. Jesus, where we've made decisions, where we've chosen other things above You. And Lord Jesus, this morning, please forgive us. Lord, we want to come to that place of intimacy. We want to see Your face. Jesus, where we've not been dependent on You, where we've not really relied on You, Lord, forgive us. Have mercy on us, Lord. This morning, Lord, we just want to come. We want to come and we want to connect with You. Lord, we want Your life to flow through us. The Lord might be speaking just specific things to you of maybe ways that you've pushed Him away, and if that's the case this morning, then just want to encourage you just to lay those things down. His blood covers over our sin. His heart this morning is so for us. His arms are open wide to you. Holy Spirit, bring about Your purposes in our lives. I really believe that there are people here this morning who you've pushed down the dreams, you've pushed down the things that God's put in you, the vision that He's put in you. You've maybe got discouraged along the way and you've pushed those things down, and today God wants to breathe life into those things again. The Lord will fulfill His purpose for you. And so that if that's you today, if you want to come to the front and someone to pray with you.